Ladies grace, everyone. I am Achiever Caprice Befleur of the Fated Faction, and this is a message of public interest concerning Alicia's pantry in the Hive. Must we remind the citizens again how free food makes the Hivers lazy? Every couple of years, bleeding heart raise money for the poor and send so-called help across the ditch. A modest tax they claim, robbery we say. Why should the hard-working merchants and landlords of the wards pay for people who aren't even citizens of our great city? Alicia Shivas is tarnishing Sir Shivas's name once again, begging at the Hall of Speakers like a hiver to fund her free kitchen. This must stop. She has been operating her immoral den for half a century now. Surely this is the time to put an end to this once and for all. Vote no to the request for help from the Hive put forth by Mrs. Shivas this upcoming market day.
Hey,
laddie! Say, you've been in the Hive for a couple of days now. What's your vade? Yeah, the prospects aren't that great. But it's all perspective, Carter. You think this way because you come from a place where you're used to seeing a blue sky. You probably expect houses to have four walls and a roof. Oh, I bet you had doors that locked too. What luxury. Oh, well, do you have a job? Sorry, did you have a job? Cause now you are in the Hive like this, your honorable former lording, and you most certainly cannot find gainful employment. If you had a house, and if you had gainful employment despite the shitty conditions, would you, a regular Bob, raise above your most common of circumstances to defend what you're arduously won for yourself? I tell you something, laddie. I would.
Yeah, it's time for work, so...
So, Sonic stays, because he's at work right now.
If you guys want to work, I'm going to shut down.
Bye, guys!
I'm not going anywhere. You guys can do whatever you want.
Sonic, you should call in sick.
I don't think it will let you do that.
I can't do that, of course.
I don't think that's how it works. The boss
that's
is
always
right
an option when people who can actually get sick, right? That's like something you should really use.
Kindred, we're in the same room as my boss while we're having this conversation.
Well, exactly. You just turn around and say, I'm sick, and then you walk home.
He looks perfectly fine to me.
I'm just gonna open a window and toss Kindred out of it. And shut the window.
I should probably go back to see how the paperwork got filled out.
You just have to walk to the other aisle.
So everyone has an excuse except for Kid to go back to work.
Yeah, all right. So let's say that all of you have to pull a long day at work after staying up all night. So...
Not me.
Sounds about right.
Exhaustion for everyone. My favorite.
I'm choosing not to go to work.
Except for
luckily, this thing that's happening isn't for a few days, right? It's not like we're like a day out.
Totally not. It's the game where everyone gets to go home every night. All right. Okay, so today is the first of Hive, which is the equivalent of Thursday. So regular work day for most of you guys. You don't have any plan on the schedule until tomorrow on the 1st of Low at 4 hours to peak, where you will meet with Dr. Mateen to go to the Hall of Speakers for the exhibition. Lend your muscles to move some boxes, stuff like that.
We're here boxes. To lend Salik's muscles. And I'll cheer on.
At the very least, your office helping out a friend.
Yeah, so you pretty much have the day. And for those who have work, you might have to ask for a day off. You guys have the rein for the day.
I'm glad I have a consultant-based job, so...
Okay, so who wants to start today?
I'll be in a low-powered state for rest. So
just hanging out all day in the apartment?
Basically, I'll just kind of like scoot over to Zan, just like, oh, don't worry, we definitely on that. And I'm just like, I don't even know why I'm yawning, but it's like...
You're making me actually yawn.
So, yeah, I'm stretching really far, but... Well, could you leave a bit of message in case anyone comes up the door? Just saying to reschedule for the next Hive day. Today's just not the best day for teaching.
Of course, Kindred, not a problem.
Thank you. Oh, and if you see a Rat King, could you catch him for me? That would be great. Oh, I just need to plug myself into a wall a bit. So, thank you.
He just nods like that's your regular weird.
As I go up the stairs, I go back down and say, oh, by the way, you got any of those cookies? I could really use some.
Yeah, I think I still have some left.
I take them and I will actually go upstairs and distribute them to you guys. And I'll leave a cookie under each of your doors. Nice floor cookie for each of you. Well, that's great. Now to play this one song on loop in my head while I go into loop. And I already linked the song. I shut down for 6 hours. Well, low power mode. I'm still aware, so I'm fully cognizant of the fact that I can't do shit for 6 hours, which is maddening. Maybe that's why Kindred's broke. All right, you guys go. I'm done. Until 6 hours.
I would just spend most of the day packing up the installation and, like, getting it ready so that it's easy as possible to transport for everybody. And, you know, typical, like, exhausted day, the day that you go to a job that you didn't get your coffee.
Are you, like, having issues holding your form? Like, you reach out and your elbow dips down like Goofy when he tries to flex?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more blobby today.
Yeah. So when you meet Dr. Mateen in the morning at his office, he's like, Inkton, well, good morning. I have your papers for you and your friends. By the way, while I was at the Bastion, I encountered a tiny version of you. She was actually pretty cute, all kind of a kid version. She didn't say much, but she just kept close with me.
Yeah, that happens once in a while. When I'm not paying attention, sometimes I'll leave a puddle and it'll just kind of get up and walk away. I'm sorry if she bothered you.
Oh, no. She didn't. She didn't. She was, she was actually pretty useful, I think. The lady at the Bastion actually thought she was pretty endearing. Kind of softened her meat-tied heart.
Inkton will totally play dumb and be like, "Oh, did you encounter trouble getting the paperwork?"
Well, they grilled me on who your friends were, and honestly, I did not think that they would ask so many questions. And since I don't really know them, I was kind of in a tight spot. But it turned out all right in the end. I've got the papers for everyone. So tomorrow should be fine leaving the hive.
Well, I'm really sorry to have put you in that situation, Professor, but me and my friends really appreciate it.
It's okay. It's okay. Everything turned out okay. I am just not the most eloquent of person, you know? So it was a bit hard, but it's okay now. I'm excited for tomorrow.
Yeah. You gotta show off all of your hard work and we'll get you that Nobel Art Prize.
It's our work, Inkton. It's our work.
You're too kind, Professor.
And yeah, so you basically just set everything up. It doesn't take all day, really. There was no research to be done today. Dr. Mateen is pretty excited and he's a bit all over the place. But once everything is packed and ready to go, to be taken to the Hall of Speakers tomorrow, he doesn't have anything else to do. So fairly quickly.
Do we have a carriage of some kind or anything that we can utilize, or should we be prepared to use the magic item you gave us?
You should be prepared to use the magic, yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly like metal sheet or...
Yeah, they're strapped together, so they're like transportable, but no, there's no cart or anything like that. There was a couple of boxes, but you package it in a way that since you have a crew to transport all of this, it shouldn't be too hard. But yeah, mostly what is the hardest thing to transport are the metal sheets, but they've been strapped together so that it's like one unit to transport. And then a couple of boxes with tubings, like metal tubings that you use for the articulated parts. But yeah, it's not like you're transporting a ton of things because it's just you that's doing like all the different installations.
Yeah, maybe some signage or a platform, but mostly the heavy bits would be the stuff that we've already worked on and that I can articulate.
Yeah, and even at the Hall of Speakers, there is a stage where you will be on, and they already have that, so it's not like you have to bring all of that. And mostly, like, there's too many people for the number of things that need to be brought there. But it's okay, like, Dr. Mateen has justified, and you create more boxes than really than is truly needed for all of this. But, you know, like, he's doing it so that your friends can come.
Well, yeah, no, not all of us are caring. Some of us is, like, yeah, direct the project manager and the heavy lifting crew and the... whatever else. Security.
Exactly. So, you know, by peak, midday, you're done. There's nothing more to be done. And so he gives you the
rest of the day off. I get EO? Thank God, Professor. I really need to get to sleep. I'm so anxious for tomorrow.
Yeah, you look like you could need a rest, so take the rest of the day and come back tomorrow, in good shape.
I will take you up on that.
All right. See you then. Okay. All right, moving on to either Salik or Agra.
Agra would definitely go into work the next day. She is grumpy and tired, but somebody who today? Stays up way too much reading and doing her wizarding shit, that's not exactly out of a normal disposition for her. And it makes her a very effective accountant, because if anybody's like, ah, yes, out of the brothel, I'd like that one, she gives them the side eye and they go, probably not that one. Never mind. And she just goes back to doing all her bookkeeping.
If it wasn't clear enough until now, the hive is built out of actual garbage. The walls of houses are built with detritus. Trash from other wards makes its way onto the junk wall. and people collect scraps to cobble together monstrosities they call furniture. The whole place is offensive to the senses. Attack sensibilities relentlessly for long enough, and you'll forget you had any. Spritz a brief shield to the funk, and the experience is primo. That's the kind of place Whisper's dream is. Sure, most know the joint to be a brothel, but it's much more than that. Like a smell is much more than your olfactory neuron firing up. This not-so-secret garden is like a breath of fresh air for those fortunate enough to have two copper common to rub together. The tender of the garden is Persephone, a tall and confident elven beauty from Theros. Persephone will not divulge her age, but she's been in Sigil long enough for the street to be named after the garden. Would you like goldenrod for encouragement, camellia for pity, marigold for cruelty, nightshade for the bitter truth, or are you simply looking for loveliness? Then pick Justina. Whatever your heart desires, to soothe your sorrow, to plot a murder, write a song, watch over your body as you sleep. For a fee, the garden has a bloom for you. Every night, the sickly sweet-smelling flower at the center of the swamp opens, each girl a petal, collected by their tender.
Yeah, I mean, in the morning, it's not, there aren't a lot of
patrons.
People.
And that's why she's there at that time.
Yeah. And usually at that time, most of the ladies of the night are either gone or preparing to go. And the only person that is still there is the matron, Persephone. And so she's there to welcome you. And she's, you know, in the process of getting every girl's cash after the night, making sure that she had everyone's earning for the night. And when you come in the door, like, that's when she gives you the earning, and so that you can, you know, do your accounting and everything like that. And so when she sees you come in, even more grumpier than you usually are, Persephone is like, "Wow, there, did you burn the midnight oil?"
The midnight oil, the midday oil, whatever oil there was to burn, got burned.
All right. She looks at you from head to toe, and she says, "I'm sorry to say, Gret, but you don't smell like you usually do."
It was a difficult night.
Yeah, I can tell.
I wish I could say I was home doing something I love, like reading or minding my own business. But unfortunately, this place had other plans for me. Portals and whatnot. You know, you think for somebody who studies portals, and she just starts, like, picking up books and slamming them down in other places. Oh, yeah. She's, like, grabbing her inkwell and putting it at her desk. For somebody who studies portals, you think I'd like this shit more, but no. They keep on popping up in the most inconvenient places, even when you want to summon them. They never actually work out how you want them to. And she just starts, like, going on a little fucking tirade. Because she doesn't actually want to talk about why the portals, but... you know,
yeah,
venting a little bit probably feels good.
Persephone listens to you rant for a little bit, and she's like, yeah, okay, I don't know much about portals, but she bends towards you. She's quite tall, Persephone. She bends towards you, and she's like, "Is that Viscera in your hair?"
Probably.
She extends her hand, and she just kind of grabs something that's sticky out of your hair. It's just like, Mom, where did you hang out tonight?
Nowhere I wanted to.
Oh, my poor girl.
I just want to read in peace.
And upon hearing, like, poor girl, she just kind of, like, leans into Persephone, like, yeah, I am.
Aw, you know what? Put the books aside for a moment, and I'm gonna go run you a bath, okay?
Okay.
God, Miriam, can you be my boss? You're the nicest boss in the world.
Yeah, you're the nicest boss ever.
Like, you're gonna have exhaustion, guys, but you're gonna feel great about it.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, you did a bunch of shit all night, you have to go to work in the morning, but your supervisor will let you off the hook.
My favorite is that you could have asked to be cleaned, but you never did, because, you know, I could have just prestidigitation, but no, never did.
It doesn't feel the same. You know, be cleaned by prestidigitation is not the same as an actual bath.
Just so you know, Miriam, I cannot also suspend my disbelief. This is one step too far. You usually do a pretty realistic game. This is where I cannot follow you on this journey.
The boss is too cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me run you up back.
Oh my gosh. See, I feel like my boss would do something kind of like that. Like, wow, you have a really rough night. You have some viscera. I could grab the hose from the back. If that works.
It's a sound.
That'd totally be a mic move.
But so Persephone is like, you cannot leave a smell like this in my establishment. And so she she runs up the stairs and will get a bath going for you so that you can at least wash yourself and have, you know, good hygiene.
Not to turn work. Customers away.
I think this is after
there's
hours.
That. Yes, it is after hours, but usually her shift also will have some overlap with open hours as well.
Linger.
Like, she cannot, yeah, she cannot be in that state.
It will linger.
In her, yeah.
Just the whole brothel would smell like death, and that's usually not what you want.
Death
to smell
and dental
like.
Bubblegum, okay?
It smells like sewers and Leon. So,
Leon.
Well, at least what Leon's insides smell like, and we don't want that.
So she runs your bath, and she's like, okay, you go now. We'll look at the books later.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't cry. It's okay. It happens.
Thank you. Okay, I won't cry. Goodbye. Just a very, very tired succubus makes her way upstairs and has a very nice bath. And thus ends the sweet D&D story time.
This is what after, levels up to five.
Right. This is after a very long night, everybody went home and Agrat had a bath. The end.
When you're done, yes, work still awaits.
Oh, yeah. And she enjoys it.
How do you go about asking for a day off?
Maybe she just wants to work.
Agrat is just going to work her hardest for today. And then at the end of her shift go, you know, I shouldn't have come in today. Can I take tomorrow off?
Wait, you haven't asked for tomorrow off?
You still don't feel all right?
No. I am very tired.
You're working for me tomorrow.
Shh.
She looks at you and you're making like puppy eyes.
I'll come in the day after and make it up. I just need a day to rest.
You'll come on your day off?
Yes. I promise. I just need tomorrow off.
Persephone thinks a little bit and she says, alright, but you know that usually you never come in on void day. That's when the customers are the rowdiest and you know you're gonna get propositioned.
Yes.
I don't want a nasty agrat to the customers.
I'll sneak in the back.
You guys do that here?
And I'll stay here in the numbers room.
It's your choice, agrat, but
and I'll even be in my disguise.
All right.
No horns, no tail, just humanish.
Humanish.
Human.
Yeah.
Humanish.
She kind of pouts and she says, I don't like the humanish version of you.
Oh.
Yes, it causes less trouble. Agrat's just like genuinely dumbstruck, and you see her like processing for a moment and going, "Thank you. I don't think I've really heard that from somebody who doesn't want to sleep with me. That means a lot."
Well, see you on Void Day.
I'll see you on Void Day. Wow, she got a day off and a compliment. Agrat is just winning today. A bath, a compliment? Holy shit! Wow, this is really unrealistic D&D.
And little did you know, all our plans are going to be on Void Day now. And you're like, oh shit, sorry, can I push that back again? So, Salik, I guess.
Yeah. Salik would just, you know, stays at work and basically just tells the doc, he'll just turn to the doctor at some point during the day and say, "Hey, remember how I asked you to help us do that thing? Well, we still need it in the long run, but the initial stage of our plan requires us to go, help, Dr., oh shoot, I forgot his name. But one of the other doctors here is doing a showcase in the next ring in the...
Dr. Mateen?
Yeah, that's the one. We're going to help him move his things, some of us. So he was asking if I could help him, you know, lift, be muscle.
That's tomorrow.
Yes, I believe so. Do you think that would be fine if I don't come in tomorrow?
Oh yeah, no problem. You can go.
Thanks, Doc.
Dr. Pavel is...
Everyone's getting days off. Sweet.
Dr. Pavel is like, mostly... And today is like, just change the bandages on the people who need a change of bandages, and the people who can't walk by themselves, put them in the wheelchairs and bring them outside. That's all I need you to do today. I'm busy.
Of course, Doctor. I can take care of all of them.
Yeah. And then you ask for the day off, and yeah, he's like, yeah, okay, no problem. And after that, he shuts himself in his office. The door is closed and
slam.
You don't see him for the rest of the day.
He's sad you didn't ask him to tag along.
No bath for you.
I don't need a bath.
No, he's kind of busy with his packages.
I probably smell better than the hospital does. What? Like the part of the gatehouse that I'm in?
Oh yeah. It's pretty rough, yeah.
No dental bubblegum there.
As long as your hands are clean, it's alright.
Yeah.
The rest of don't really care.
I like how many of them is like, hey, by the way, you guys gotta work. It's gonna suck. You're gonna have all this stuff. Everyone's just getting their day off anyways. Obviously, you're still working today, but it's just funny. It's like, man, these jobs are great.
I mean, we're not here to play, like, life, right? Yeah. I'm not gonna have you, like, role-play your 9-to-5. So, yeah, you do have a little bit of job to do, but it's basic. Pretty menial. It's not. You might be a little bit tired, but it's nothing too intense. And clearly, Dr. Pavel doesn't have a lot of energy to dedicate you. So once you're done, you can fuck off.
Sure. I mean, honestly, Salik's getting better at this anyway. So you know, he's perfectly happy taking care of patients.
Yeah, just taking paraplegics, putting him in wheelchairs, and leaving them outside.
I mean, you know, like some people who can't walk, like, yeah, you put them outside and then you go take them again, like, after a little while, like, there isn't much to do. You know, you park a couple of them together so they can talk, for those who can talk. Some of them don't. It's a bit sad, but some aisle, the aisle that Dr. Pavel take care of are, like, the heavy cases of like super, super strange maladies. So yeah. So at the more or less, some people get back to the house later than others, but unless you tell me otherwise, you eventually all make it back home.
You may have some difficulties opening your doors with all the amount of cookies I shoved under there.
And somehow, one of them arrives home cleaner than when they left.
And it wasn't Agrat.
Agrat falls into a puddle as soon as she comes out.
Oh, damn it!
No!
I gotta go back to work to take a bath again. Damn.
No, there's customers in there now.
Gret's not paying attention as she walks through the front door of the house and just walks right through Inkton.
Not the first time that happened.
I guess it'd be returning around the time I would activate again. So I just kind of like pop back up. So I'd be setting up a lab. It's more like a Hasbro kids play set of, you know, it's of instruments. You know what I mean? It's just like stuff I found around. So, and like everything, nothing has a hard corner or a sharp edge at all. You know what I mean? It's all super safe and secure. And I just like set those up in a chaotic fashion that makes sense to me. And I'm just waiting, because I know Salik has the items, but I do want to start working on reverse engineering. That's it.
Reverse engineering what?
Backwards. The potion.
Oh.
That's what I want to spend my day. Oh, I'd also be grading papers and setting up homework. I'm giving them extra homework for the day that I missed. I'm a great teacher. I was like, oh, Salik. Well, I had a great idea during my low power state. I would really love to reverse engineer now that I remembered that word. I spent 6 hours trying to remember that fucking word. And now I remembered it. I want to reverse engineer that potion. May I have it?
The potion of the chancel?
Yeah, the chancel.
Oh, okay, but like, will that not consume some of the potion for you to be able to analyze it and make it work? Or I don't really know how this works.
No, I won't take any of it. I promise you, I can't taste a thing, so I'm not even gonna try.
But like, how are you going to figure out what's in it without using some of it?
Well, I need like a tiny bit, but it's not enough to make a difference to what we need to actually use it.
I'll admit, I do not quite understand all of the minutia of magic, but I was under the impression that, you know, potions were kind of non-divisible, as it were.
Well, I mean, it's liquid. Of course it's divisible. All I need is about this much. And like, I take out my tiny hand and I make like this little thing, and then I do a minor illusion to make a magnifying glass to show you how infinitesimally small of an element I need. Just that much.
Oh. Whatever, it wasn't exactly something that I was super hung up over anyway, so...
Well, how about this? I'll just dip my finger in it, and that's all I need.
No, you can have it. It's not... Like I said,
I'll get it back to
no
you.
No big thing.
I mean, it's a potion. Like, these aren't the little healing potions. This is a potion. It's like a flask, right?
It's not that big. All potions are about half a cup, so that you can actually drinking, yeah.
So like, that's fine. I shouldn't be using that much, but that's how it works. That's how alchemists, outside of getting the recipe, that's how they figure shit out. Just to note, Minim, I'm not gonna risk the potion in my experiments. Like, if there's a point where it is obvious that I would have to sacrifice too much, I'm not gonna do that to Salik. So I'll stay true to my
gotcha. Word. All right, okay. So if you want to reverse engineer it, it depends on the complexity of the potion. So depending if it's a common, uncommon, and all of that, it might require different DCs to be able to ascertain like what it is. And remember that alchemy potion require a specific sephiro that you need to learn. The sephiro are the most complicated thing.
So I'll talk to Agret about that.
And because the sephiro you can use for different potions, right? They can be used, once you know it, and you can use it for multiple potions. So that's the most complicated thing. That's the most valuable thing in alchemy.
Just to repeat, I'll be working on all the tools and stuff, and then I reach a point where I just stop, like mid-pour, it's like, oh, the sephiro. Oh, I need to ask about that. And then it's like, zip away and leave all the stuff behind there, like spinning in place as it till finally like whoop, 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 and then finally settles. And then Agret, you're gonna hear from behind your door. Agret. I need you. Could you come to the door?
Agret had very ungraciously just fallen face first into her couch. Like, she didn't even make it into the bedroom. Just like slumped onto the couch, and you just hear, oh, what?
I promise it will only be at least 15 minutes.
If it's more than 16 minutes, I get to throw you out the window.
Okay, that's perfect.
and you don't get to come back in until after I have a nap.
There's always a caveat to that. But fine, okay. The time hasn't started until you open the door, though.
It's like dealing with a djinn. And she'll get up and make her way to the door and then open it. Okay.
And I'm sitting there, like, I'm kind of do that thing with, like, my hands behind my back. I'm kind of kicking the ground, trying to be all cute. Like, it's like, so Agrat, I need help with Sephiroth again.
Okay.
So, well, obviously I'm working on the potion here, and I, like, present it.
Chancel is actually kind of a paste. The chancel you apply to your fingertips.
To your hands. Ah, that makes a lot more sense.
And it's why it enhances anything that's tactile.
Makes a lot more sense now. So, all right,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
I present the paste in its wonderful form. It's like, with this, the hardest part, of course, is the Sephiroth, and you're an expert on that. And so I really don't want to fuck it up, and I'm just like getting some insight into that. So what do you think would be the most appropriate Sephiroth for this concoction?
Well, what do you want to use it for?
Well, it's for the fingery doos.
The fingery doos?
Yeah, and thumbs.
Oh, yes.
It's an interesting thing to say to someone who works in a brothel.
So Agrat would, like, she would think for a moment and go, okay.
Why, if this is already going to be effective, why do you want Sephiroth on top of it? Because this is guaranteed to work.
Well, yeah, but it only works one time. We want to have it multiple times.
So you want me to make a spell based off of this potion?
So that we can keep reenacting it, yay.
I don't know if I can do that, because spells and potions are very different. No, I haven't. It is a physical application of separate ingredients, then formed into a concoction, whether that be a cream, a salve, a tea, a tincture. It is separate, then application of specific magical symbols.
So what you're saying is you're wasting time intentionally of the 15/16, maybe more minutes that I have.
I'm telling you, it's really different. It's like you going and hunting cranium rats. Yes?
Yes.
And then you go and hunting a fucking bird.
Why would I hunt a bird?
Exactly. Why would I try and mimic a potion? They're different things. Well, what do you even need to... You need to know what you want from a Sephiroth before you can create or even find a proper Sephiroth.
I want the Sephiroth that makes it happen. That, like, activates the supernatural ability to have your finger reduce tactile sensation increased tenfold. So I need to reverse engineer that.
You just need to know the ingredients.
Yeah.
And the recipe.
Yeah.
Okay. If you can figure out what ingredients you need, based on the final product, I may be able to reverse engineer it depending on what all the components are. Depending on how we need them to interact, I would then be able to work on something like that. But it may take me a few tries.
Well, perfect. I mean, that's how we learn. So, although, is there a book or two I could borrow?
On what?
Anything that you feel would be applicable to this. I know I still have to return about 15 other books, but I promise these ones will get back to you soon, too.
Have you been taking my books without me knowing?
Yeah, of course you know it. I've got a library card for that.
I never gave you a fucking library card.
I already have one.
He's a teacher. Of course he's got one.
My private books are not your library. I have spent a lot of fucking money on these books, and I have smuggled them through hell. Literally.
Oh, shit. I shouldn't have showed that one to Tommy.
No, you shouldn't have. Let me guess. He has the spins now and keeps on speaking in demonic tongues? Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got 5 tongues sticking out of his mouth, so that's probably why. I thought that was just part of learning Infernal. There's a lot of tongue rolls with that language.
No. No, that's more like a deep speech.
Oh, that one I don't know.
But stop taking my fucking books!
Is there any checks I have to do, Medium, while I kind of, like, put stuff together? Check runities.
Well, if you want to start doing it, you can do it.
So what should I roll? What should I do?
Alchemist kit. You figure out that, I mean, this is not that complicated of a recipe. What binds it, so the dilution ingredient is grease. So that's why it's a paste. And the magical component is very finely shards of obsidian. And so it creates, when you rub it against your finger, it creates minuscule cuts on your fingers. Thing is you need to acquire the Sephiroth. It's an uncommon Sephiroth, so it's not necessarily the most expensive one, but you'll need to acquire it to be able to recreate the potion itself. But well done.
Awesome, yay.
All right, so after that, I think you've fucked around enough. The other skin can now slip.
Everyone slap.
You guys are ready to go and meet Dr. Mateen?
Let's do it.
Bright and early, you guys make your way to the gatehouse, where a Dr. Mateen welcomes you. So just as a reminder, Dr. Mateen is a old orc. He's quite short for an orc, but today he has dressed in his most beautiful clothes, you think. He's wearing a nice little three-piece suit. He has on his, usually he has very poofy hair. He has combed and put some pomade in his hair, so it's all slicked back. His beard is neatly braided. And yeah, so he's in dress to impress Kit. And he also has a cane. That is decorated with a kind of a copper ornament. He's all like shiny and proper, and he seems very nervous and happy to see you all arrive.
Well, you look mighty spiffy.
Hello, welcome all friends of England.
Well, thanks for having us. Once again, you're quite a dapper gentleman, aren't you?
I just have to put our best foot forward for the gatehouse. The Bleak Cabal's name is on the line. So I hope you understand that I am lending my name today for all of you. I trust that Inkton has given you your papers for the day.
I don't know. Has Inkton
given? No, I'll hand them out now.
Okay.
Good. Good. And so, as you can see on the paper, it is written Dr. Farid Mateen. And so, I am vouching for you for the day. Please. Respect my name and the Bleak Cabal's reputation today.
Respect his good name.
Yes. All right, the equipment is right here, and we can proceed to the Hall of Speakers to set up.
Excellent. I said put best foot forward, so I stick my feet out, and then my foot cups go right down, and then I hop on them. I was like, perfect! Glad to know I'm supposed to use fight here.
He's nice.
So, yeah, I guess I'll scoot along, holding this piece of paper, feeling very validated.
I think it's safe to say that we have the heavy lifting mostly taken care of by Inkton and Salek. And then whatever else on, we have those donkey feet, right?
A minor illusion, foreman's hard hat. It's like, all right, let's do this. Get like a little orange vest.
All right. So once, you know, the legs are stuck onto like one of the big box, you know, Selik takes the big metal sheets and everyone is ready. Dr. Mateen says, since you guys don't leave the hive very often, I was thinking that we could take the bridge that spans the world as our way outside of the hive and make our grand entrance into the clerk's wards. What do you say?
The grandest entrance is always the best entrance.
It's short. It's the shortest route.
Where is the arch on a suspension bridge? It's in the main cables, right? We agree the arch is above the deck and above whatever the bridge spans. Someone explain why the portal under the bridge is called the Seafarer's Arch. Nothing makes sense in this damn city. It's at best a misshapen rectangle. But arch is its name, and just as the name is nonsensical, the portal behaves like a wackadoodle. Portals comes in three types: permanent, temporary, or shifting. Of course, the arch decided the rule of three did not apply to it. No, ma'am, this portal is permanent. It's always under the bridge. It always requires a gate key to activate, but one destination is not enough for it. No, no, all its destinations are always accessible. It's possible to change a portal destination, but it takes about a week to do so. Not our arch that isn't an arch. Have the right key and go wherever you want. You have a key for sigil. Welcome to the City of Doors. Please direct your vessel up the ditch to the Taker's Lock on your left. The canal will guide you to the docks. You have a key to Kryn, Ortho, or Tyrill. Be on your merry way. We hope to see you soon.
I hope there's valet parking for the Nautiloid. Excuse me, I need keys to the tentacles.
There is, as you cross, which is the first time that you would cross this bridge, because there is the Harmonium that will be checking your papers at the end of this bridge. You also can see deep in the ditch is what the remains of one of those astral ships. Not the Nautiloid, but one of the ships that the Gifts use, the big galleons, and there is a very, very large ship that has crashed in the ditch there. If you wish, you can roll a history to know a little bit more about what happened to that huge ship. That ship is called the Arcane Remains. Was one of those Gift galleons started attacking the city.
Oh,
ballsy.
Okay, so they fucked up.
Yeah, they fucked up real bad. And they got the attention of the Lady of Pain. And she defended the city against this huge galleon.
What'd she do? I wanted to know what she did.
Yeah, well, she destroyed the galleon and left the remain of the ship there for everyone to see what happens if you try such a foolish thing. But during the fight between the galleon and the lady, the galleon was able to shoot a couple of arcane cannon at the lady, and it managed to sever one of the blades around the head of the lady.
Oh shit.
Next to the arcane remain, there is the blade of the lady still poking out next to
no one wants to go near that ship.
Next to the ship.
Where are we seeing this?
If you look up northwards, that's where the galleon shipwreck is, and jutting out right next to it is a giant blade. That blade is one of the blade that used to, the Lady of Pain has a giant crown of blades next to her head. So during the battle, one of her blade was severed and fell into the ditch. Yeah.
Was this a recent event?
No, that happened quite a while ago.
Okay, this is like historical, like literally history. Okay. Like, I guess as we're walking by, I'll like go into intellectual mode. It's like, well, as you can see across here, and I just kind of like, it's like kind of like tour guide mode.
History
like,
lesson.
If you look over the ledge, you'll find the arcane, that was a disaster. Okay, I just had it. Arcane remains, which is very fitting for what happened here. And as you can see, the captain was quite a crack shot, cracked a piece of the Lady of Pain's own chrome off her dome. But good luck trying to get a piece of that, because, well, it might curse your ass. And just kind of like continue on there. Yeah. Well, And then it's like hanging back. It's like, but I would love to give it a try. That would be wonderful to have a piece of that. Look at that. That could connect a piece right to here. And I just like point at a piece of like my head.
So as you're regaling the others about this story, you arrive at the post where the harmonium guards are. There's already a short line of people who are ready with their papers and are getting checked. It is still quite early, so there aren't too many people. And you see, yeah, the members of the harmoniums asking a couple of questions out of the people, looking at the names, and then waving the people through or returning them to the hive. And then your turn happens, and Dr. Farid is ready to account for everyone. He explains that today is the grand day for the exhibition of his many years of experimentation and study of many living beings at Bleak Bell, and his colleague Inktin, and he points to Inktin, will be performing, and he goes into this very long and complicated, and then you see one of the guards is like, okay, yeah, but how many people will be going with you? And he's like, there is myself, my colleague Inktin, and then there is three others that are accompanying us to bring the materials. I have papers that have been pre-approved by the Bastion. And then again, he goes into lengths about the detail where he went. The guard is just like, okay, please show me the papers.
Shut up. Just give me the papers.
And then the guard takes his paper and is like, okay, name Dr. Mateen, orc. And then he looks at him and is like, orc, okay. Bit small for an orc.
What are you?
Okay, from the Bleak Cabal. And you see, and he snorts. And then he turns to Inktin and he extends his hand to have your papers.
Pass them on.
Yeah. And he says, plasmoid. Now what the in the 9L is that?
I mean, you think plasmoid is an odd race, but you don't think orc is an odd race?
I ain't never seen a plasmoid before. I've seen plenty of orcs, but you, and he kind of poke at you, and then he regrets doing that. And he's like,
yeah, I bet.
He looks at his finger. Full name?
Full name? Do you know how long I had to exist before I got the name I have?
I mean, your papers say your age. Are you able to tell me what your papers say? If they're different, we're gonna have a problem.
Oh, and you're just asking for my paper? Full name. I thought you didn't know my name. Inktin just said it.
Yeah, and now I'm asking for your age.
My age? Technically 600-ish years, but I've only been in this particular form for about 8 years.
All right, okay. And he hands you your paper. He says, next.
Hello.
Pencil pushers. You've got this, Agra.
He's like, okay. Agrat.
Yes.
Bat Malahat.
Yep.
All right. That's very forthcoming for a succubus.
You get a little guarded when the only personality people want from you is to fuck you. So yes, I'm a little guarded. I hope you have a wonderful day, Mr. Guard.
Yes, okay, thank you. Paper. Oh, Nilitin now. What a nice party.
So Alec's gonna like look down at the papers and then hand them over.
You're not sure? You're rereading your papers before handing them out to me?
Oh no, I am certainly not reading them. I'm not very good at that.
Alright.
These are clearly all forged.
Salik Fimbal.
Indeed, Salik Fimbal.
Right. And what is it that you're going to do today, Mr. Salik?
I'm just gonna look at all of the large boxes and just kind of pick them up and then put them down.
Guards need demonstration.
Okay, that's good. No, not causing any trouble. That's good. Is that the sentient being?
I look behind me. Oh, well, of course. Can't you see my brainstorm working up here? And I point to the storm rolling around in my head. That equals life.
Okay, papers?
I'd already folded it into a phoenix, origamied it, and I throw it down to him where it glides gently. And he has like one little updraft and then lands perfectly in his hands.
He looks at it and he's like, what the hell is this shit?
No, that's not from the hails. Though it's fire, it's not from the hails.
Yes, this makes my job easier. Thank you for folding.
He says, now Carter, how am I supposed to check your papers if you do this to it?
You unfold it. I could teach you how.
He just hands you back the paper and is like, okay.
So all you have to do is unfold it this way, and then this way.
Move on.
But I forgot to tell. Don't you want to know how old I am? I'm at least 1.56666666666 elven, or repeating infinitely elven cycles.
Who the fuck even counts in elven cycles?
The chromatine just like keeps bowing. He keeps bowing and is like, thank you.
But there's so much more about
and it. You guys are.
I have to teach things.
You guys are on your way. So you guys make your way in the clerk's ward. And as soon as you step out of the bridge, it's like you're somewhere else entirely. You leave the city is still very labyrinthine, but there's not heaps of trash up to your hips anymore. The streets open up quite a bit. Let me move you to a different map.
Oh, the new map, ward. Guys.
I feel transported.
Yay.
The Hall of the Speakers District. There it is.
Today is a day where there aren't too much haze. Luminosity is starting to raise quite a bit. So where you are, as you're walking your way down the Forgotten Lane, Mateen points up, which remember the city is a dome. So he points up and you guys can see a very large, it's oval, a very large oval dome with a very tall spire at the top. It looks like a jagged blade. And so he points towards it. And you can see next to it a very large, well, two very large sculptures. One is a woman holding a globe, and next to it is a giant horse. And so he points to it, and he says, well, that is where we are going. And if you want to draw off a little bit, it is quite easy to recognize the Hall of Speaker. Using the very large streets, he is going to bring you, guys will leave the lower ward which you entered, and you'll make your way towards the south, arrive at the Hall of Speaker fairly quickly. By the time that you arrive, now the city is starting to become very much more busy. While you're crossing the administrator's district, you see there are a couple of very differently dressed people than what you are used to. You see people instead of the dusties that you're very used to, the gray garb that they're wearing, or the collectors, so the people who collect the dead in the street that are wearing brown shifts, or even sometimes you see the Harmonium, but sometimes you will see the Bleak Cabal that again are wearing very gray or black clothes. Now you're starting to see a lot of colors. People are much more rich here, so that they're wearing a lot of colorful clothing, and you can tell a lot what they do by what they wear. You see governors, so the people who are in charge of the law here will tend to wear more earthen color or green, dark reds, brown, but rich colors, and they're very tailored garbs. You'll see a couple of artists as well. They wear very wispy clothing with long flowy dresses. in shades of pastels or a very colorful clothing. So that is something that's entirely different. You only see very colorful clothing, basically only in brothels. And even there, it's very gaudy. The effect here is very different. You notice, also, a couple of people are wearing yellow clothing or orange. And
scandal.
They are.
I like
after Labor Day.
No, what? They are wearing this mask of a. It looks like a. You know the theater masks.
Commedia dell'arte masks.
But it's not quite that. It's a smiling face, but the eyes are on one side. It looks very happy, and the other side looks like mocking. So it's not Commedia dell'arte exactly. And the crown has, it looks like sun rays. So like a sun. And they're all dressed in either in yellow or orange or a combination of the two. And they kind of skip about and seem to be parading. So you notice like maybe four or five of those just kind of having fun around before you make it to the Hall of Speakers.
And this completes the end of episode 6, Door 2, Backwards Thinking. This episode is the transition between the story arc of Door 1 and 2. In Door 2, we'll see the characters out of their element and put on a show. I hope you'll tune in because things get really interesting. As always, thank you for listening. I invite you to visit our YouTube page to learn more about Planescape and Mobius. Here's your mandatory reminder that we have a Patreon and a Ko-fi page if you want to support us. The links are in the notes. May the Lady Shadow pass you.